alternate ending for Spirit Husband. The focus of the book was the celebration of those willful servants of Jesus Christ, who, after prolonged difficulty, male or female, finally begin accepting Jesus as Lord, or those who were true overcomers, like Wesley, who did their best to honor Jesus' Lordship. While that is the focus of this book, it must be understood that many men and women will not accept Jesus as Lord. Some of those men and women will totally banish Jesus from their lives, but others will continue not to grasp their error, but in other ways try their best to honor and serve. This alternate chapter will present the word picture of a Christian who struggles with independence and stubbornness, but in other ways has a right heart. While they do have a genuine love for Jesus, they have not matured enough to honor his Lordship. In other words, Jesus will make a distinction between those who are merely, coldly religious and those who love him, but who only refuse to honor him as Lord because of their immaturity. And so begins chapter 12, the alternate ending. Wesley appeared in his tidy whitey gym trunks, red gloves, and white sneakers. Willow appeared in one of her sweater and jean combos and looked back and forth between Alf and myself. Jesus made his pre-game announcement, requesting that Willow help me in the battle. She looked back and forth between Alf and myself a bit longer than usual. Jesus then asked her a second time. He literally begged, "Willow, please, you must assist your husband Wesley in this battle. It is very important to both of your futures." Willow replied, "Lord, I said no. Wesley is not my husband." Some angels wept and others groaned. Devils, small, evil-faced, trollish figures, shouted, "Elf, elf, elf," and then cackled, grunted, and made obscene gestures. Elf smiled crookedly, drooled a dark drip of bile from the corner of his mouth, and strutted around in his corner of the ring, while the face of the creature resembled the sitcom legend Elf of Melmac. That was where the resemblance ended. The brownish-gray skinned being had a large brutish head over a yard thick, topped with spiraled ram's horns. His stubby, deformed wings, once whole and beautiful, were presently black and featherless. Alf's hard, scaly, triangular chin, double rows of huge, fanged teeth, and a mottled gray and pink tongue, with a thick, rough surface that forked, added to his horrific visage. When Elf spoke, his voice was so strong, grating and harsh, with a strange echo and timbre, that it always took a few seconds to translate its speech, unless you knew in advance what it was going to say. Strangely, its voice was clear as a bell when it sang. Usually I do not look like I do in real life in the spirit realm. While I am a strong 30-ish male in the spiritual realm, about 10 feet tall, I have a normal head, one set of good teeth, and strong hands and feet with 5 digits for each limb, not 6. I sport a shoulder-length dark topknot and a tiny dark-whiskered chin puff. As Kevin Ken says, in the realm of the spirit, I am a powerful ninja. That is not the case in this instance. In real life, I would never think of wearing my hair in a topknot like that, but I have had beards, especially Van Dyke's, from time to time. Whenever I appeared in the ring at Damon's Reach Fight Club, I looked as I do in real life, a great bear of a man, but old, disabled, and portly. Willow looked back and forth between the mountainous 19-foot-tall monster demon, Elf, and myself. Suddenly Willow appeared beside Elf, wearing scarlet boxing gloves and a soft, gossamer, ultra-thin Victoria's Secret red bikini. The referee angel signaled with his hands and shouted, "And the game begins! Undefeated for the 800th match, we have Elf, the principality-level spirit husband, religious demon, and his captive wife, Willow, tag-teaming against the servant of Jesus Christ, Wesley, the forgotten prophet with his book of dreams!" Immediately, the bell angel slammed his hammer against his chime. The demons, stinking of excrement, sanguineous, pablum, and sulfur, frenziedly shouted Elf's name, slapped their chests, and performed their lewd pelvic thrust Russian squat dance. The little demons began to chant, "Fight song! Fight song! Fight song!" Elf leered, "Get ready, wifey! We are a-going to bubble Mr. Wesley until he is a-bloody and a-comatose. But first, hey Willow, we are a-going to have some fun, and you are a-going to entertain the troops. My clan, they just want to watch you bounce." Just as Elf reached out to grasp Willow's gloved hands to hoist her up in preparation for the start of fight song, Jesus leaped up, spread forth his arms, and shouted, "Stop!" Immediately, half of his angels surrounded Elf, and Willow rushed back to the center of the ring. Jesus said, "8 is the number of new beginnings. And this is the 800th round. So there will be a new beginning. Enough is enough. Wesley, concede this battle to Elf." Wesley said, "I concede the 800th round to Elf." Willow's sweater and jeans replaced the red Victoria's Secret bikini. Wesley's clothes changed from the tighty-whitey trunks into blue jeans and his black dress shirt with the band of white Hawaiian hibiscus flowers and his Coach Dave ball cap.
"Not exactly according to the rules," said Alf, "but I will accept Wesley's forfeiture. That said, I won in perpetuum rei memoriam. And I will keep a Willow forever."
"On the contrary, Elfkur Zengahazi Hatala Mutranda Makshatu Etutu, in my name and in my authority, I banish you to the northeastern quarter of the United States, which you rule over as delegated by the Dark Prince of America under the auspices of the Post-Babel Angelic Accord over the Nations Treaty. You are henceforth banished from this pocket dimension, never to return or even view it, with your soul-powered sensorial and psionic abilities. Angels will be assigned to watch over you, Elf, so that you never again torment Wesley, Willow, and their friends and family. This pocket dimension, smaller than Earth and flat, with an invisible domed structure, was not created by you, Elf. When you found out how to access the 40 pocket dimensions, I allowed you to claim them temporarily, but I will soon have need of them, as they are necessary as part of an end times provision which I prepared for long ago. I am reclaiming this and all of the interdimensional pocket worlds for the use they were originally intended, as temporary off-world sanctuaries during the end times, Most of the special end-time sanctuaries will be scattered around the earth. Of the sanctuaries, it will be said, there is a special magnified presence of Jesus Christ there, and evil will not be allowed within its borders. Where there is no food, there will be food. Where there is no water, there will be water. And where there is no medicine, there will be healing. Jesus added, It is written in my book, Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Many teachers have mistakenly taught that all my children will benefit from this protection. Only a subset, those with the heart and spirit of the Church of Philadelphia, with a few exceptions according to my will, shall benefit from my special protection. My end-time sanctuaries are part of that special limited promise. I am also releasing Willow from her captivity to you, Alfkur Zenghazi Hatala Mutranda Makshatu et Tutu, as she is now needed as one of the caretakers of the sanctuary. In my authority, I release you, Alf, from your assignment concerning Wesley and Willow. Remove your spirits from following them. And I rebuke and remove all the curses and traps you have set for them. You have lost all rights and privileges as Willow's spirit husband. Let me hear you say it. Alf growled and forced the bitter words through his clenched double rows of sharply pointed teeth.
I say it. I have renounced all the ties to Princess Willow and her husband, Prince Wesley.
Alf added a question.
What about my children and my clan?
Jesus answered, I am sending your children to you following our discussion, and your clan will be sent to early torment. Jesus pointed at the small imps that were cowering behind Alf and the others who were sprinting back to the castle. When Jesus raised his hand, the little demon screamed and vanished. Jesus then commanded, I call forth Heinrich Daz and Sigluna Sophia and all of their clans. Instantly, both Nordics appeared before him, shocked and afraid. They stared at Jesus with wide open eyes and mouths. Within moments of their appearance, the cloudy forms of Daz and Sophia's clans fell from the bodies of the two Nordics. Behind them, shadowy, large, worm-like forms, a shimmering cloud of black, wispy, winged serpents appeared. Following a brief flash of light, the pre-corruption demons, formerly wispy shadows, were transformed by the simulcast technology of the castle into fleshly creatures. Hundreds of flying, vibrantly feathered serpents, some with humanoid serpentine faces, and others with viper heads, floated, hissing and babbling, behind Heinrich and Sigluna, the hosts of Daz and Sophia. Jesus commanded, Ram Daz and Ram Sophia out of your hosts now! Ram Daz and Ram Sophia, three times the size of their largest quetzal-feathered serpent underlings, appeared in front of their respective clans. Both Heinrich and Sigluna suddenly bent forward and exhaled forcefully as if they had just been sucker-punched in the solar plexus. Both Nordics paled and gasped for breath. Heinrich and Sigluna instantly lost much of their fine muscle tone, and while their hair did not turn white, both especially Heinrich, sported several gray hairs that had not been visible before. Unless they quickly hosted a Rom demon, they would both begin to age naturally and would live at most another several hundred years, not the several thousand guaranteed to them for hosting a pre-corruption Quetzal demon. Jesus pronounced, "Ram Dass and Ram Sophia, under my authority, I have extracted you from your hosts. I now banish you and your clans to the realms of torment reserved for pre-corruption demons." Jesus waved his hand, and the entire host of Quetzal-feathered demon serpents vanished. Sounds of hissing and humanesque wailing lingered momentarily following their departure.
"Are you going to send us to hell now, Jesus of Nazareth?" asked Heinrich.
Sigluna sidled next to her brother, head down and silent, weeping softly as she grasped his hand. Jesus responded, "No, you tried to help Willow as best you could, within the parameters of your orders, when you had the opportunity to simply kill or imprison her. I am going to take that into account. If you choose to take symbiotes again and serve Sunanda, or if you retire on your homeworld in the Pleiades without hosting and remain neutral for the rest of your lives, that is up to you. For now, I will settle for using this situation to embarrass and annoy your former master, Sunanda. His time is not yet, and his cup of iniquity is not full. Our audience is over, Heinrich and Sigluna. You would both be wise not to attempt to contact Sunanda again, but that is your choice. Go home and meditate on this day and those actions which brought you before me." Jesus clapped his hands. Heinrich and Sigluna vanished and reappeared at their family's home estate in the Pleiades star system. Jesus gestured towards Alf. "Once you leave the ancient tech generator that is located in your castle, you will, of course, lose your simulcast body form, your castle, and your fight club." "That's just the way the ball bounces, Alfie."
"Arrivederci, Mr. Alf."
Immediately, Alf appeared in his corporeal form back in his lair in the center of the northeast quadrant of the United States of America, in his subterranean citadel, amidst his angry and confused sons and two daughters, also now in spirit form, having been separated from their ancient technology simulcast generators. The angels that had been guarding Alf flew back to the Chupa and began taking down the walls, but left the canopy in place. Jesus pointed at the skull-faced door of Alf's castle. The door disappeared and was once again a rugged brown and green granite cliff face, like the rings of mountains that surrounded the flat sphere of the pocket world. Jesus gestured with both of his hands, and a stone well, orchard, and 24 raised French gardens with herbs, melons, vegetables, tubers, and berries appeared between the north of the boxing ring and the cliff. Jesus turned to Wesley and smiled. "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Wesley had remained standing during the entirety of Jesus' pronouncement against Alf and Ram Dass and Heinrich and Sigluna. Wesley was wearing his blue ball cap with the white and red cross, and he was wearing the red cross that was wound with silver. He was wearing the clothing that he had been wearing prior to appearing in Alf's fight club. During the sentencing of Alf, his demons, and the Dornix, and the pre-corruption Ram demons, Wesley had slowly began changing. He was no longer the old Wesley. He appeared to be about 30 years of age, 75 pounds lighter, and his spinal deformity was gone. Wesley had gained 3 inches and now stood 6'5" in his socks, but he was dressed in his white New Balance walking shoes and a suddenly baggy pair of denim pants and a black, with garland border, Hawaiian dress shirt. A grinning Pazel had grabbed Wesley's belt, which kept the pants from falling, until the stunned human servant scrunched the belt tight and buckled it through the belt's braided fabric. Wesley had not noticed that he was no longer wearing spectacles, nor had he realized that he was no longer bald and had no gray hair under his Coach Dave ball cap. Jesus turned and gestured towards the boxing ring, which disappeared. Willow's eyes were large as teacups as she looked at Wesley's transformation. I wonder, she thought, what Jesus is going to do with me. I would guess that I'm not his favorite person in the world right now. Jesus turned towards his throne and clapped his hands together. It vanished. In addition to rewarding you with 25 years age regression, Wesley, and healing your eyes, both the vision loss and astigmatism, as well as healing your spinal deformity and a few other physical problems, I am giving you a replicate of your house. Of course, Prince Wesley, a few items were under the ban, so to speak, and I did not replicate them. This flat pocket world with its invisible dome will no longer be referred to as Damon's Reach or Elf's Fight Club, but is now Wesley's Sanctuary. Jesus grinned and added, "That smiling monkey, Pazel, who can let go of your belt now, will tailor the clothes in your closet, as those clothes, like what you are wearing presently, are neither adequate or suitable." The faux chryselephantine throne, which had sat not too far from the chupa, had vanished. A new version of Wesley's small yellow house, with its colorful wildflower-filled planters ensconced on the sides and front of the building, had appeared in its place. "Thank you, Jesus," exclaimed Wesley, "for all of your gifts." "You are very welcome, Prince Wesley." Jesus pointed at the chupa. The warring angels had removed the walls from the tent, and most had disappeared, carrying away the tent walls. The MASH hospital room had vanished, and had been replaced by a stone well and several patio tables with lounge chairs. Jesus pointed to the right of the house, which would have been south of the boxing ring, following a flash of light, a beautiful lake, and several small wooden cabins as well as docks had appeared. The quiet ruffle of the creek that wound down from the mountains tinkled like wind chimes and flashed in the sunshine at the south end of the lake. The light fragrance of the white water lilies floated delicately on the lake breeze and settled at last on the gathered spectators of Jesus' new creation. Several pieces of new equipment, including a pontoon, a few small boats, and a small fleet of 6- and 4-wheeler ATVs, all with zero-point energy modules installed instead of gas engines, and several small storage garages, had also materialized. Next, Jesus turned back to Willow. She gulped twice, and her skin turned 3 shades of pale. "And last, but not least, as the saying goes, my darling Willow." Jesus paused. "I am certain that you notice the incredible instant healing I gifted to Prince Wesley." Willow nodded, but did not speak. Jesus continued, "It was my fervent desire to heal you as well. Because of your disobedience, that is not an option." Willow hung her head. "Even so, here in this sanctuary, you will live many, many years longer than you would have back on Earth. I also wanted to heal the soul wounds as well, especially the don't touch me soul wound. Alas, that too, Willow, is not an option. I will place a spiritual salve over those wounds so they won't be as sensitive. Since you will not need your reproductive system healed, that will remain as it was as well. I do have good news for you, though, Willow. You have matured to the point that it will not be long, and you will slowly begin honoring me as Lord without even thinking about it. But it did not happen soon enough so that you were able to help Wesley defeat Alf. Not now, but when you are ready in private, I will still expect you to repent of your independence and rebellion and refusal to complete the covenant with Wesley. That said, do you remember, Willow, when you asked if I would allow you to do the ministry with Wesley, but just as his friend and not his wife?" Willow gazed into Jesus' compassionate hazel eyes and replied softly, "Yes, Jesus, I remember." Jesus continued, "It was not my perfect will, Willow, for you, but I am now going to grant that request. What moved my heart in your favor is that I could see that towards the end your heart was softening, but between Alf's taint and the fact that we simply ran out of time, you were getting close, but you were not yet ready to give into making the covenant with Wesley. Most of all, you did not banish Wesley, even though you insisted that you did not want Wesley as your boyfriend or your husband, and even though you had Ruby the Red Heifer tantrums from time to time, you never totally cut him out of your life and remained as faithful as possible, not only to Wesley, but myself, considering the situation. If you would have temporarily or permanently banished Wesley, that would have resulted in different outcomes. So, yes, Willow dear, you may help Wesley in the special ministry, at least one part of it." Jesus paused and then gestured back at the cabins. "Do you see the cabins near the lake, daughter?" "Yes, Jesus." "The time will come when I will start bringing people from around the world to stay in those cabins. A few of them will be old or infirm, but others will appear briefly for rest and relaxation before going back during the dark times and the tribulation after that to minister before my return as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. You will be responsible to help Wesley care for them by helping my servants to settle in and to share food with them. Prince Wesley and a few of those who will stay permanently will lead times of prayer and worship and intercession for the saints who are ministering on earth prior to my return. Neither you or Wesley will be their lords and masters. I simply will not tolerate that. However, I will expect them to respect you and Wesley as the caretakers of the sanctuary. Pazel will also appear from time to time and help with various caretaking chores. From time to time, I and possibly a few guests will appear and have brunch with you and Wesley under the chupa. One final item, soon to be princess again. Willow, before I leave you and Prince Wesley to your caretaking responsibilities. I promised Wesley children. Obviously, you are not going to be assisting with that task, at least from a reproductive standpoint. That was not my perfect will. Because I must follow through on my promise, I will not dissolve the covenant I made with Wesley concerning you. However, I will provide a proxy for you so that Wesley may have a conjugal wife. I am going to give Prince Wesley a concubine. You will be her bridesmaid, and you will befriend her. You need to get along with her, Willow. She is your sister in service. There cannot be strife between you as there was with Sarah and Hagar, or as there was between Leah, Rachel, Zilpah, and Bilhah. I simply will not tolerate that kind of strife. I know that each of you will make mistakes and have bad days, but that, if it happens, must only be temporary, and you all will practice saintly forgiveness and love. Jesus stepped forward and hugged Willow. I will return in about 30 days with Wesley's concubine, he said. Do a good job helping Wesley caretake the sanctuary, and don't forget to spend time reading your Bible and in prayer and praise. Walking over to Wesley, Jesus hugged him and said, Continue in the faith, Prince Wesley. When I return, I will have your concubine, and she will fill in by proxy for Willow under the chupa. You will like her, Wesley. She has her issues and is a young and attractive girl. She does not have the dark side to her personality in the same way and depth that Willow displays. But she is, by character, a Friendship Tower girl, and she likes you. She also has the yellow-gold hair and amber-green eyes that you have so desired. The End. This is the conclusion of the alternate ending for my book, Spirit Husband. Thank you for listening. Please visit me at wayneoconnor.com and click the blog icon. At my blog site, starting with my most current entry, you will find free samples of my radio shows, other books, stories, and articles, as well as Songs in the Night from Jesus. My Songs in the Night from Jesus albums, available at Amazon.com, are songs that I have had from time to time over the last 30 years in my dreams, or a few times following prayer. Have a great day or a good night, whatever the case may be.